while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
You know, it's Easter Sunday. And because it's Easter Sunday, some of this sermon I'm going to talk a little bit about falsehood. I'm going to talk about mistakes. I'm going to talk about lies and deception. I'm going to talk about victims of deception. And I'm not trying to make it sound too dramatic. Because really, when we talk about what happened on the greatest day in history, you know, that results in the greatest story ever told, that includes the greatest false ending that ever existed, greatest false ending ever known to man. You know, there's no way that we cannot talk about these things. Show of hands, how many people here like to watch movies? Quick. Show of hands. Okay, most people. Fantastic. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether you like to watch movies at home, maybe you like to watch streaming movies, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Apple TV, whatever those may be, or you watch your movies on YouTube, yes. You watch, you know, cinema, open-air cinema. Ever been to an open-air cinema? That's an experience. Yeah, we went to an open-air cinema. Really lovely, in Battersea. And it's lovely when you go to watch a movie, particularly with someone who gets it many, many, many years ago. Actually, our first date, very first date, Sumi and I went to the cinema. We went to watch James Bond, right? Very first date, we went to watch James Bond. And so we went to watch James Bond. I can't even remember which James Bond we watched. I don't remember what the movie was about. Do you know what I remember most? She fell asleep. I mean, okay, yes, it was a late showing. I think it was like 9 o'clock at night or something. Yes, it was a Friday. Yes, she'd had a long day. Yes, it was Daniel Craig as James Bond. You know, but she was on a date with me. How dare her fall asleep? Out of order, not nice. Obviously, things have changed since then. We do like to watch movies together, and we watch a wide variety of movies, a wide variety of genres, okay? The movies we watch now typically don't feature Daniel Craig. Friday just gone, Good Friday, we watched a movie at home. It's called Mercy. Those of you on YouTube, Facebook will see it on screen. And Mercy, this movie is about one of my favorite, not so favorite topics, AI, artificial intelligence. It's set in the supposed future when all devices, systems, emails, CCTV cameras, that sort of thing, all the computers are interconnected and to an AI system. And then this AI system is made the judge in a court. Hey. So imagine that. In a system where every movement, every call, every text, every email, every social media post is being tracked and traced, all your movement is tracked and traced, how can a criminal get away with a crime? That's all I'm going to say about the movie. Anyway, we watched the movie. I think it was a good movie. We do think it was very tense from the very beginning to the end. But about 3/4 of the way through the movie, I figured out what had happened. I was like, oh my goodness, I get it. I see it, you know? It was one of those things, and it started to become irritating to Sumi. She was like, okay, I know you've got it. Because, you know, I don't like to spoil movies. I didn't want to spoil it for her. You know, like she spoiled James Bond for me. Anyway. Unfortunately for her, I was so excited that I'd figured it out. It was becoming a distraction for her. I mean, you know, serves you right for falling asleep, you know, 20 years ago. Okay, I'm kidding. And then right there, obviously I figured it out. Before long, she figured it out too. We were like, yeah, my goodness, we know this. We know what's about to happen. And then the final scene happened and we were like, yes, just as we knew it. And then there was a twist that nobody saw coming. You've seen the movie, right? I see the nods over there. Then there was a twist that nobody saw coming. We did not see it coming. And that's why this sermon is titled, They Think It's All Over. You see, 60 years ago, England won the World Cup. I mean, every football tournament since the 1990s, we've been saying, football's coming home, it's coming. Listen, mate, it's taken less time to get to the moon than for that football to come back. Yeah, with respect, that football ain't coming home, it's lost in the bush, all right? Everybody needs to relax here, you know? I mean, in fact, I think the men need to stop singing that song and go learn from the women's team. Hey, ain't that right? All right, I'm gonna just leave that there, right there. 1966 World Cup, the day England, the football came home. You know, that's where the phrase was made famous, at that historic World Cup match, England and Germany. Final moments, the goal was scored and the commentator said the words, they think it's all over. Yeah, it is now. And we see the idea of false endings. We see the idea of false endings. You know, that twist that people didn't see coming. We see it, particularly in movies. Do you recognize these movies? Here's one for you. Do you remember this? I mean, in truth, it's from 1999. Some of you in this room were not even an idea when this movie came out. It is, absolutely. This is the movie starring Bruce Willis, The Sixth Sense. You know, when we watched that movie, everybody was like, yeah, we got it all figured out. And then right there at the end, there was a twist that nobody saw coming. Those of you who've watched it, you'll remember that. Here's a movie that's even older than that. When you talk about movies with a twist nobody saw coming, this is number one on the internet. The movie, some people are like, yeah, some people are like, what? Some are like, what is this? Yeah. This movie is called The Usual Suspects with Kevin Spacey, Kaiser Soze. Yeah, and the Barbershop Quartet from Skokie, Illinois. You know, again, the movie went, you know, you did your hour and a half, 2 hours, however long the movie was, you got to the end, you're like, oh my gosh, wow, oh my gosh. And then the final scene, you're like, oh no, you didn't see it coming. Nobody saw it. I'm going to play a clip. It's a 1 minute clip. For those, there's nobody on radio today, but it's a 1 minute clip from a relatively more recent movie. I will say this movie is from 2010. Can you recognize this clip? It's just the end, this is the final scene of the movie. Here we go.
Welcome home, Mr. Cole.
Thank you, sir.
Some of you know that clip. Yes, the rest of you are like, I haven't got a clue what's going on. But I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's one of those of you who recognize it, especially when he twisted that top and the top kept spinning. You know, that twist that nobody saw coming. Today's sermon, as I said, is titled, They Think It's All Over, and rather like the storylines in those movies. At the time of Jesus' crucifixion, it was easy to assume that Jesus was done for, it's over. But as we know, God had other plans. God had other plans. There was a story I heard on social media. Somebody said, this is the best explanation of the gospel in there, you know, as far as they were concerned. And I read it and I thought, ooh, that's quite interesting. So I'm going to recount it for you. The story is told of a king and of this kingdom. And in this kingdom, somebody was stealing and they'd been stealing from the king's treasury. And the king decreed, he said, you know what? Whoever has been doing this stealing, when they're caught, the punishment is going to be 10 lashes. But they need to come forward right now and get their 10 lashes and that's it. Nobody came forward. After a while, the stealing continued. It got worse and worse and worse. The king was like, you know what? I'm increasing the punishment to 20 lashes unless you come forward. Nobody came forward. He said, you know what? That's it. I'm increasing the punishment to 40 lashes. In that kingdom, 40 lashes was the equivalent of a death sentence. It was the equivalent of an execution. Still, the theft continued and continued and continued. And then one day, what happened? They discovered who the thief was. Who was the thief? The king's own daughter. Now, here was the king. The king is now caught. How would the king respond to this? Would he let the punishment go ahead, or is he going to override the law and stop the penalty? How could this, and this king was famous for being the most loving king and the most just king. He was a king of love and a king of justice. How would the most loving king that ever existed allow his own daughter to be killed at his word? How could he let that happen? If he allowed his daughter to be killed, how would he be loving? How? If he bypassed the sentence, how could he be just? So over the time, he looked for a situation and then he said, let the punishment go ahead. The law is very clear. The law is the law and we're not going to change it. So that day happened in front of the whole kingdom. The king's daughter was brought before them. She was tied to a table. The back of her shirt was ripped open. The executioner stood in front of her. He was about to dish out the punishment for her. And as he stood there and did this, as he lifted his hand, the king shouted, stop! And everybody thought, uh-oh, he's going to override it now. He's going to, the punishment isn't going to take place. And what the king did shocked everybody, because he then got up. He lay on the back of his daughter. He ripped his own shirt open. And then he said to the executioner, go ahead. The executioner said, but your majesty, your majesty. The king said, the law is the law. The punishment must take place. Go ahead. And the executioner did, and he went ahead, and he executed, and he delivered those 40 lashes, effectively ending the life of the king. That, saints, is what happened. That was what was done for you. The king died so that his child could go free. That was what Jesus did on that cross that day. Our text for today, as you heard already, comes from Matthew 27, 55 to 66. And I want us to look a little bit at the context. You know, after Jesus died on the cross, the Pharisees, the priests, determined they were going to have the final say. These guys didn't want to be bothered with Jesus. They were like, you know what, we're done. This guy just needs to go. He's a troublemaker. This guy's a boat rocker. This Jesus guy, we don't like his attitude. The guy just doesn't listen to people. He's just doing his own thing. And as far as they were concerned, everything that he taught, everything that he said, they wanted it to die with him. So after his body was laid in the tomb, the stone, big stone was rolled in front of it. The priests, the Pharisees, they wanted to make sure the stone was there. Jesus would never come out because they'd heard. People were saying, oh, this guy's going to rise from the dead. So they were like, no. We need to make sure there's something in there that even he cannot move on his own, no matter how strong he may be. They went to Pilate. They requested guards. Guards, keep watch. Just make sure nobody comes to take his corpse. What they really wanted to make sure was that every promise that was ever made about Jesus, they wanted to make sure those promises would never happen. That's what they really wanted. They knew Jesus had said he was going to rise again. His disciples were saying he's going to rise again. And they wanted nothing. That possibility is not, they were like, not on my watch. Okay, different accent, but you know what I mean, right? So they waited, you know, the only thing they could do was to put the corpse in there and keep it in there. Once it has passed 3 days, once it hit the fourth day, fifth day, they were like, yeah, we won. It's all over. We knew it. They thought it was all over. And they wanted to make sure that it was all over. So Pilate said to the people, make the tomb as secure as you can. And that's what they did. They sealed it shut. The guards kept watch. Nobody was getting in. Nobody was getting out. To them, that was that. Dead is dead. The tomb is secure. They were done. They were so done. They were done with Jesus. I'll say it again. They thought it was all over. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there right now, this Easter day. You endured something. Something happened to you. Maybe someone happened to you. Maybe someone or something told you that it's all over for you. Maybe. And sometimes, you know, it's so much easier for us, you know, to believe that it's over. Sometimes, you know, the mental energy of trying to think of an alternative, the mental energy of believing that this can change, sometimes it's a lot. And it's easier to just accept, you know what, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. And you find yourself in a place where you think it's all over. You know, if you read beyond our text and you go into Matthew 28, and we read it earlier on at the beginning of the service, you'll see what happened, the plot twist that nobody saw coming. This is the stuff that is unbelievable. Just like some of those movie endings that I referenced earlier on. This is the stuff that people were going to talk about for weeks, for years, for centuries, in this case, for millennia. The third day, Sunday. You see, on that third day, some women made their way to the tomb. They were expecting to find the tomb in the same condition they left it. You know, the reality, the cold, hard death was going to meet them again. They thought it was all over. PHBC family, let's be real here. Sometimes we have the same attitude. Sometimes we have the same outlook. Sometimes, you know, the hard stuff comes, the tough stuff comes, something bleak comes, even death itself comes. And it seems like, you know, it's like everything comes to a full stop. You tell yourself, well, I can't do it. That word can't, I've stopped using that word. I'm careful about can't. Yes, I can't, I'm not a fish. I can't swim on, you know, underwater for 3 days. I can't do that. And there's some things that I can't do. But the idea that I can't, what does that mean? Who told me I can't? Whose lie am I believing? Whose truth am I believing? And sometimes we get to that place where it seems like everything is over. We think it's over. Nothing is left to do. But you know what? Let's just grieve what has been lost. And so the women went to the tomb. And wahaha, they were in for a shock. They were in for a surprise. They thought it was all over, but they weren't listening deeply enough. Let me tell you, sometimes that happens to us. We experience something so hard, so challenging, so difficult. Our heart is going, and all you're doing is listening to your own heart. You're not listening to advice. You're not listening to counsel. You're not listening to God. You're not listening to heaven. Sometimes fear drowns out the voice of God. And if these women were listening very deeply, they would have heard it. What would they have heard? You see, when Jesus was put in the tomb, here it comes, heaven started counting. One. Parents, have you ever done this? Two. And then heaven said three. And on the third day, there was an earthquake. The ground beneath the feet of this woman started to shake and quake. The earth began to shift. That's Easter morning. Even the earth was trembling. I'm sure these women were like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And if the earthquake didn't throw them off balance, what they were going to be confronted with absolutely would have blown their minds. Their hearts were broken, broken with grief. But something was about to change. With the earth moving beneath their feet, an angel suddenly appears. These angels, man, I mean, you know, of all the time, dude, I'm scared right now. Why are you here? And so scripture says that he showed up. He rocked up to the scene. bright as light, white as snow. Things were changing in heaven and things were changing in earth. Things were changing in reality and things were changing in eternity. Unexpected surprises from every direction. The angel came down, he rolled the stone away, and then he sat on it. Ha ha, my man's like, hey. These people made this tomb, they made the tomb as secure as they could, but it wasn't that secure after all. Everybody was about to find out they were not done with Jesus. When the stone was rolled away, where death was supposed to be, what was there? Nothing. Emptiness. Even death couldn't exist. The tomb was empty. Jesus had left the grave. And the angel gave them the news that first Easter morning. He said, do not fear. I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified, but yeah, he's not here. Jesus has left the chat. You know, he was raised from the dead just as he said he would be. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's why we celebrate. Saints of God, he lives. Death has been conquered. Life has won the victory. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. Those who wanted everything about him, you know, the things he did, the things he said, those who wanted those things forgotten, they were the ones that were going to be disappointed. They were the ones that were going to be heartbroken because Jesus was raised from the dead. On the third day, everything changed. The stone was rolled away. Death was defeated by death. Jesus was raised from the dead. And this is the hope that we have. Brothers and sisters, this is the hope that we have. It's the hope we cling to, the resurrection of eternity with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Many of you remember, you know, this time last year, we were in mourning, weren't we? Ooh, it was tough. As individuals, as a family, as a church. Earlier on in the service, I referenced Elder Veronica, Louise, their family, experiencing right now, real-time heartbreak and bereavement. The truth is, you know, all of us at one point or another have felt the sting of death, the sting, the pain of loss. But for those of us who believe in Christ, there is a relief from that pain. There's a sweet balm that's going to soothe, it soothes our aches. There's a sweet balm, and that balm is the hope of resurrection. The resurrection is what we have to cling to when death takes a loved one from us. The hope of resurrection means we can endure the bitter breeze of winter because we know we're going to experience the soothing calm of spring. Amen. Without the hope of resurrection, what meaning would our lives be? Without the hope of resurrection, why do we gather in this place every week? Without the hope of that. This Easter is your opportunity to let joy and courage break into your heart. Let it break into your situation. Your heart that's been held in pain, held in grief, held in sorrow, held in fear. This Easter is your opportunity to worship the risen Lord, the risen God, because he is alive and he is living and he is with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8, it helps us understand. If they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If only they had trusted the author and perfecter. If only they trusted the one writing the story. They would have waited till the proper ending. Just like those movies. You trust the author. But instead, they thought it was all over. They thought it was all over for Jesus. And what about you? Do you think it's all over? What are you going to believe? What do you choose to believe? That's my challenge to you today. That's my question to you today. What do you choose to believe? Everyone thought it was all over for Jesus. You know, he was dead, and like most people on earth, you know, he would soon be forgotten. But there was a plot twist that nobody saw coming. It wasn't over for Jesus, and so it's not over for you. Amen? Amen. The criminal on the cross, everybody thought it was over for him. He thought it was over for him. He could never make heaven because of the things he had done. But there was a plot twist coming that nobody saw. It wasn't over for the criminal on the cross. It's not over for you. Amen. The disciples, they thought it was all over for them. Their leader had gone. Rome had won. The faith and the teachings, they were done. No more miracles were going to take place. Again, I say it, there was a plot twist nobody saw coming. And if it wasn't over for the disciples, it will not be over for you in the name of Jesus. Mary thought it was over. Her son, her firstborn, her eldest child. There he was. She was watching him breathe his final. She was there. She thought it was all over. His story was going to come to an end. Who wants that for their child? But there was a plot twist that nobody saw coming. And if it wasn't over for Mary, it's not over for you. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea. This guy, you know, our text tells us, he said, you know, give me his body. Joseph was a rich man. He lent them the tomb. It was on loan. As far as Joseph was concerned, he's like, well, you know what? Just have it because I don't, you know, it's over. Who's going to pay him? Who's going to pay him? Jesus? He was like, yeah, just have it. Because as far as he was concerned, this is it. This is my good deed. I'll give it to God. That's the end of that. I'm not going to get anything. I'm not even going to get any recognition for it. But there was a plot twist nobody saw coming. It wasn't over for Jesus. Thousands of years later, we're still appreciating his sacrifice for the Lord. And if it wasn't over for Joseph, it's not over for you. The death of a loved one, death of a career, death of a marriage, a business, death of a child, death of your finances, death of a ministry. That's not where your story will end. It is not. Death will not have the last word in your story. The death of your hope will not have the last word in your story. The death of your joy will not be the last chapter in your story. In the name of Jesus, I want to remind you and I charge you, never forget, because Jesus is alive, death has lost its victory and the grave has been denied. The world has changed. It was changed because of what happened on that day. The day that we commemorate. This day that we are commemorating. I didn't say it earlier on because I wanted to say it here. That this is the day that the Lord has made. And we do what? We rejoice and we are glad. And we can rejoice and we can be glad in this day. Because Jesus Christ used death to defeat death. He rose to life after his brutal execution. He fulfilled the ancient prophecies. He fulfilled the scriptures. He confounded the wisest in the world. And he makes a way for you even now. He makes a way for me, for all of us, to be with him for all eternity. In Jesus' story, they thought it was all over. And boy, were they wrong. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. I don't care what the situation it is that may tell you, that may think, that may say that it's all over in your story. Maybe they think it's all over for you. Guess what? They're wrong too. It's not over for you because there's a twist that nobody will ever see coming. Jesus is alive, and because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.